So I welcome Mark Doctor to come down. It is an honor to share the pulpit with another preacher, Mark Doctor.
I'm always amazed when I get to get into the pulpit. Sometimes I'm concerned when I speak that it's too much. And you get a bonus today. You get two sermons. I asked Will, how long do I have? He said a couple hours.
No.
No, actually, I have 10 minutes. So I know it will be easy for you to forgive me if I'm short, but be just as forgiving if I'm a little bit longer. If we could look at our checkbooks from God's perspective, we would see that it would tell the story of our lives. It tells of our values, how much we save, what we spend, to whom we give. In fact, our checkbooks tell us more about our priorities than anything else does. That's why Jesus talks so much about money. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. Indeed, Jesus Christ said more about money than about almost any other subject. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,350 verses on money and possessions. The Lord said a lot about it because He wants us to know His perspective on this critical area of life. He dealt with money matters because money does matter. So, I have 3 points that I want to make here. And the first point is, how we handle money affects our fellowship with the Lord. In Luke chapter 16, verse 11, we read, "If you haven't been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" In this verse, Jesus expresses how we handle our money with the quality of our spiritual life. If we handle our money properly according to the principles of Scripture, our fellowship with Christ will grow stronger. However, if we manage money unfaithfully, our fellowship with Him will suffer. The Lord often allows a person to teach a subject because he or she desperately needs it. I have never met anyone who had more wrong attitudes about money or who handled their finances more contrary to Scripture than I did. As I learned God's principles and applied them, I experienced a dramatic improvement in my fellowship with the Lord. Following God's financial principles draws us closer to Christ. Number two, possessions compete with the Lord. Possessions are a primary competitor with Christ for lordship of our lives. Jesus tells us we must choose to serve only one of these two masters. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Matthew 6. verse 24. Here's an example of what that might look like if you are a little confused by that statement. When the Crusades were being fought during the 12th century, the Crusaders employed mercenaries to fight on their behalf. Because it was a religious war, the Crusaders insisted that the mercenaries be baptized before fighting. As they were being baptized, the mercenaries would hold their swords out of the water to symbolize the one thing in their life that Jesus Christ did not control. They had the freedom to use the sword in any way they wish. Today, many people handle their money in a similar fashion. Though they may not be as obvious about it, we hold our wallet or our purse out of the water, in effect saying, God, you can be the Lord of my entire life except for my money. I am perfectly capable of handling that myself. 3. Much of life revolves around the use of money. During your normal week, how much time do you spend earning money in your job? Making decisions on how to spend money, thinking about where to save and invest money, or praying about your giving. Increasingly, people wonder where they can turn for help. There are two basic alternatives: the Bible and the answers people devise. The way most people handle money is a sharp contrast to God's financial principles. Isaiah 55, verse 8 reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So with this being said, I want you to listen to this. Society says, God plays no role in handling money, and my happiness is based on being able to afford my desired standard of living. Scripture says, as you learn and follow the scripture principles and how to handle money, you will draw close to Christ and listen and learn to be content in every circumstance. So that's what I have for my text. This is my testimonial part of it. I'm a business owner. Never wanted to be a business owner. I'm the treasurer of this church. Quite frankly, I don't want to be the treasurer of the church. A lot of money passes through my hands, both in the business, personal, and through the church. I sign a lot of checks. And I'm a type of person who, I started out with nothing, and I pretty much have most of that left. But over 2 years ago, in my devotional reading, I came upon the passage in Malachi 3:10. Everybody should know this. This is one that we forget. But basically in Malachi, God is saying, give me your first fruits. Fill my temple with your first fruits. And I will open up the doors and the windows of heaven and bless you. Test me on this. Now, there's not, if any, that I know scripture-wise that God is actually saying, test me on this. Most of the time, he's testing us. We get to test God on this. That word snapped me awake. Test me on this. What have we got to lose? You know, God's not a liar. God is good. And no matter what your situation is, He's saying, test me on this. So, it's about attitude. It's about reflection of your heart. During that same week, when I came upon Malachi, I came upon the reading in Luke. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. It's a parable. It's a parable titled, The Rich Fool. And if you don't know the story, let me just give you a little synopsis of the whole thing. Here's a guy that was wealthy in his own right. He had a very productive land. This guy had more money than he could do with it. And he had another bumper crop. And what does he do? He turns to himself. He has become a god in his own mind. He says to himself, I am so wealthy. Things are so good. I think I'll tear down my barns. I think I'll just redo my whole operation and basically sit back, eat, drink, and be happy. And God says, you fool, for tonight you will die. And what of your possessions? So that caused me to realize that it truly is attitude. It truly is what our heart reflects when it comes to money. Those are extremes. But it is that extreme. Either we're into ourselves and we're a fool because we're into ourselves, or we're going to trust the Lord and go first. This was my first step. So my first step as a believing Christian is that I pay God first. I never did that before. I started that 2 years ago. I used to go through the month and see what I had left over for God. And I never had much left over. You know, so I couldn't even meet my commitment because I didn't have any left over. But the funny thing is, the moment I get paid and I deposit that money and I write that first check to this church, to God, to the missions of this church. Not that I'm a rich guy, people, but I have plenty left over at the end of each month. Nothing has changed but that one thing. Whether it's coincidence, whether it's supernatural, my belief tells me that I'm testing God. And He's being true. And that's the first step I'm on. That's the first step of this journey. This is the first step that we all need to take on this journey. It's about attitude. It's about reflecting your heart about money. So I am not up here to be your personal Holy Spirit. You know, but I do pray for the corporate being of this church. I pray for the finance team. You know, we like to have a little few wrinkles and a little less gray hair about the finances of this church. This is hard stuff. This is ugly stuff. I know some of you guys are very faithful. I know some of you guys think about being very faithful. We need to do the first step, and we can do it together. My prayer for this church is that no matter where you at, no matter the specifics that Will talks about and the Bible says, just make it upon yourself to pay God first. And those who are paying God first, think about going up a couple percentage points on your tithe. Your finance team will thank you. The church will be more missionary. Imagine what we could do. After all, it is for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Amen.